Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, Ma. The number one rookie running back, Braylon Allen. 6'2", 245. No, Ma. He's the biggest running back in the draft class, Ma. I'm telling you. It's not...
Live from the FantasyFootballShow.com studios, it's the Dynasty Fantasy Football Show.
Well, looky here, reindeers, you're back for more Braylon Allen content, and I'm here to deliver. We talked about this from a general perspective, Dynasty Redraft, the main channel. If anybody doesn't subscribe to that, you need to get on over to youtube.com/TheFantasyFootballShow. Which is the main channel, nearly 25,000 subscribers. We're doing it live Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, every single Monday through Friday. You're now watching the Dynasty channel. Subscribe if you haven't hit that subscribe button yet. And we're here to talk about Braylon Allen, who we just talked about on the 8 p.m. show. We're here to talk about him from a Dynasty-only perspective. So Travis missed the earlier show. Travis, you're going to love it. It's good content. We're here to discuss this man, the probable running back one, rookie running back one from the 2024 Dynasty class. Now, I said this earlier, situation is king. Situation is king because this guy doesn't have Breece Hall prospect level talent. Doesn't mean he can't become the number one running back in the NFL, especially from a fantasy football perspective, if the right situation is presented to him. If he goes to the most ideal of scenarios, let's call it the Dallas Cowboys, who may bring in Barkley, may bring in Derrick Henry. They're most certainly going to attack the running back position. Maybe they bring in, if we go to our running back free agent board, maybe they attack Jacobs. Like, Dallas is going to bring in a big name. The question is it more crafty to grab a Braylon Allen, the next Derrick Henry, potentially, size-wise, characteristic-wise? Is it smarter to bring in a cheap young rookie, or just our window's closing, I'm McCarthy, I'm worried about next year, let's just, you know, stop, gap, measure, whatever, let's win a Super Bowl is what he's thinking. Derrick Henry, bring him in, ground and pound. Certainly possible Derrick Henry is a Dallas Cowboy. Out of all the landing spots that are eventually going to be talked about, I think widespread, we're doing it live more than anybody else. We pull up the Barkley board here, the Barkley, Henry, and Jacobs board, and we say to ourselves, these landing spots are phenomenal for the most part, all of them. I think Henry most likely goes to Dallas. I think Barkley most likely goes to Houston. All these things are just up in the air. And Jacobs, I'd say Baltimore, like if I'm just forcing things. But one of these teams, maybe the Cowboys, says, let's get mother freaking crafty. And let's grab Jaylen Allen. I think Braylon Allen. I like to think of him as Bra Elon. Elon Musk is in his name. Anybody's an Elon Musk fan, it's easy to remember how to spell it. Bra Elon. I was thinking about that earlier. I'm like, how do you remember how to spell his name? There you go. Elon's in the name, bra. Elon's in the name, brah. Do it live. Appreciate you. Do it live. Go. We might have to come up with an animation for that. Eli's in the name. Elon's in the name, brah. Do it live. This guy's 6'2", 245 pounds. Braylon Allen is the biggest running back mixed with you know, speed and ability in this entire draft class. I didn't think people realize. I don't think people realize what's peanut butter and jelly saying, how similar linebacker and running backs are in college, especially. Well, yeah, this guy's a linebacker size, 6'2", 245. This is Derrick Henry. This is Derrick Henry potential. If Elon Bra goes to Dallas, that might be his new name, Elon Bra. Elon Bra. If Elon Bra goes to Dallas, I mean, that situation mixed with very good talent, because he's not Breece Hall, he's not Bijan, he's not that good coming out of college, it could turn him into that good. It could turn him in. I'm not saying he'll be better than Bijan. I'm just saying it could. Like, situation could close the gap between the prospect level value that he has, which is below Hall, below Bijan. 100% below those guys. There's no comparison. You can't sit here and say Braylon Allen is as good of a prospect as Bijan. He's not. You can't say he's as good of a prospect as Breece Hall. He's not. Breece Hall had one of the best combines in the history of combines. But what if he does go out there and blows people away? You know, that can happen. Like, we need to wait for that. But as it stands this moment before the combine, he's not a better prospect than Breece Hall or Bijan. He's not close to it yet. The combine could change that. The landing spot can change that. Combination of landing spot and great talent, maybe not elite talent, can turn this man into an elite running back. The best way to liken this is Devontae Adams was not an elite talent. He was a great prospect, and Aaron Rodgers tooled him into an elite talent. And even if you took Aaron Rodgers away, like we saw, and Adams, you know, although he struggled in Vegas this year, he did amazing things with Derek Carr. He was the same player with Derek Carr the first year that Devontae Adams was in Las Vegas. My point being that once you tool somebody into and craft them into an elite player, you take away the scenario, the surrounding environment that made him, doesn't take away the elite talent. Meaning, this guy in the right environment a la Dallas could become a top five running back, and will never know that he was never going to be. You know what I'm saying? This guy in the right spot could be a top five fantasy football running back. Landing spots, everything. If Trey Benson goes to Dallas and this guy, Elambra, goes to, let's say, a horrible crowded situation. Let's say he goes to Pittsburgh and you've got Najee and a running back by committee mentality. We're like, oh God, you know, Arthur Smith's going to infect this situation. Then he can't. He can't rise up. Like, his talent level is not going to overcome that horrible situation. He's going to get drowned out, watered down, and I don't know that he'll ever be the guy we want. That's the trouble. That's the problem with a running back class that appears to be weak on the surface level, right? And no one's going to be going to these great spots in the first round. Everybody's got a crack at these guys in round two, and therefore sometimes a Braylon Allen, sometimes a Trey Benson, sometimes a Blake Corum could fall into a very bad fantasy location because they're practically free. They're late second round, third round players. It's really important for a rookie running back to go high, because then teams that don't need them won't mess around with drafting them high, because the draft capital's high. You got other things you got to spend that on. Once you get into the second and third round, teams will just, we got 2 second rounders. Or, you know, we'll take a running back. We need one. No one does that in round one. You don't need a running back. If you're in round one, and none of these guys are probably going in round one. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. If you're in round one, you're not taking a running back if you're the Indianapolis Colts at 15. You got JT. You're not taking a running back at 21 if you're the Dolphins. You got a plethora of running backs. You're not taking a running back at 29. None of these guys are going to spend draft capital that is a first round on an RB if they've got one. But everybody contemplates it a little bit more and a little bit more the deeper you get into a draft. So it presents a problem when the draft class overall is not highly regarded by scouts and NFL teams. And that's what this class is. So every single running back, Braylon Allen, Blake Corum, Jonathan Brooks, Bucky Irving, all the boys have a potential to fall too far, and they fall in a horrible landing spot, fantasy-wise, crowded, watered down. But we anointed this man, Braylon Allen, a.k.a. Elambra, to the Moon Man list.
The Moon Man, dropping loads in outer space.
Look at him.
Space monsters.
Look at him. Man, you guys really like football, says Gabriel. I mean, don't you, Gabriel? Why? Because we're here? Are we talking too early for you, Gabriel? Not everybody's into football, I guess, year-round, but you're here. So pitch your tent and get ready. That is unless people listen to Smitty and do superhero running back strategies, says Mario. Look, let me tell you something. This goes for Dynasty as well. And while there's a potential, we might need a new marker, by the way. No, that's good now. It just needed to prime itself. God, this thing stick. I need to clean this marker board. Oh, God, look at the that's why. That's why. It's the, like, the stick them on the other side of the eraser that's making the marker smear. Okay. We did this on the Dynasty, or on the main channel. Hero RB is the way to mother freaking go. It is the most glory, if best player available allows it, is the most glorious way to build your running back stable in 2024. However, I will abort it at any moment and go Achan in round two. We'll just go round 10. I'll go, let's say I go Bijan here. Bijan at round one, okay. Now, the whole point of Hero RB is to go no RB, no RB, no RB, no RB, no RB. And really, it's up to you at what point you jump back in. Just if you jump back in round seven, you're not doing a watered-down version of Hero Running Back. You're doing a version you just define as Hero Running Back. You could even draft a running back at round six. You could draft one around five and revert back to wide receiver. You know, break the trend anytime you feel like best player available calls for it. Don't stick to something because you heard it was a cool strategy. It's just something that really works well if it all falls in line. Will I abort this strategy and go Achan? Would I do that? I'll let you guess. I'll give you two guesses, but you only need one. The answer is yes, I would.
Touchdown probability high.
Touchdown probability is always high with Devon Achan. But like, okay, so let's say we're not going that route. He's either gone or whatever. Okay, so then you go wide receiver, you go QB, you go non-running back. Actually, it's Dynasty, so we're going to have to climb these guys up a little bit. Like, even if you go somewhere in between here, you go Braylon Allen. And I think he could go higher. Like, Dynasty is hard to say. He could go around four. He could go around three. It really just depends on the combine and everything, right? So, like, Allen might go here in round four. And then you start your you don't really do zero RB as much. And in redraft, you're going to see Allen and all these rookies fall to round seven. So, if you go Allen, 7-8. If you go Allen, you go Corum, you go Benson, and then you go just Bijan. Now you've got Bijan as your running back one, and you have in redraft, you would have all three of Corum, Allen, and Benson, if those are your guys. Jonathan Brooks maybe as well in round 10. You could literally get these guys around that territory. You could start around earlier to make sure you get all four of your top rookie running backs. But who's not winning a league, quite honestly, with Bijan and all of the running back stable? The rookie running back stable. You're going to land one of them. You're going to land one of them. Rookie running backs are the most lucrative business in fantasy. And then you got a QB, wide receiver, tight end, whatever. That is zero Hero RB. The question is, if we try and translate this into Dynasty, at what point does Allen jump into five? Or does he jump into four? Does he jump into three? Does Corum jump into five? Does Corum jump into four? And then you've got to do it a little earlier. So you're going running back. Or you could even compile those guys. It's just such a weak running back class. We don't even know where their dynasty values are going to level out at. We need to know the landing spots. But as much as these guys climb in dynasty, right, you could essentially say, you know what, my hero RB, I'm going to turn into zero RB through the first three rounds. So you go QB in round three, you go wide receiver in round one, you go wide receiver in round two, you go QB, then you go Allen, Corum, Benson, blah, blah, blah. Doing it live. Lots of ways to go about drafting. But what I can tell you here is that this man has the most upside. He's 6'2". He's 245. Yeah, 984 and 12 sounds like not a great number, you know, at a glance. But the guy was phenomenal in college. And he averaged 5.4 and 6.8 yards per carry. wasn't like he tailed off or anything. He missed three games out of the entire 38-game slate over the 3 years. He walked away from, you know, returning for his senior season to go into the NFL draft. Here's that message here. Braylon Allen is declaring for the 2024 NFL draft. This is a retweet of Braylon Allen's announcement, where Braylon Allen, very humble man, says, "Thank you, God. Thank you, Badger Nation." This Wisconsin Badger machine, 6'2", 245-pound monster, is the closest thing to Derrick Henry in the last couple draft classes. Is he Derrick Henry? Time will tell. Will he evolve and become elite in the right situation? Time will tell. Is he a very good to great talent prospect? Maybe not elite out of the box. I believe so. But the sky's the motherfreaking limit if his landing spot is Dallas or something glorious like Baltimore or one of these spots we're projecting for the potential free agent running back class. If Houston somehow ends up with them, we could be surprised. Maybe they want to go younger than even Barkley. Maybe they look at this running back free agent board and they say, you guys might like Jacobs and Barkley, but we're thinking more long term than that. Maybe they don't want any of this. We don't know. They could. They very much could. I think Barkley to Houston seems like it makes the most sense at a glance, but goodness gracious, imagine Braylon Allen in any one of these situations. Cincinnati's probably moving on from Mixon, I imagine, or they're very, very tempted to. Buffalo is certainly tough to peg. I think a lot of people like Cook, but I don't know that I believe in him. Philly, I mean, they ran Swift a lot. They ran Swift as if he was a between-the-tackle running back, not a pass-catching machine that he is capable of being. So Philly's actually a pretty good spot to ground and pound. But I don't know that I like it as much as Houston, Dallas, Baltimore. And then really, it's probably Cincy over even the Chargers. Chargers probably going after Blake Corum as late as they can in the draft. But I feel like this could be a committee and a very, very different offense than people expect. Phone lines are open. We won't be here a ton of time, but I wanted to get in here and talk Dynasty with you guys. Hit the phone line. Phone line's right there. Dial in.
Call into the show. Call into the show.
We're going to let's see here. We're going to put this up here. This is what I did earlier. I think this is a pretty easy question right here. Yeah, he's 20 years, you know, young. Braylon Allen is 20 years old. Jacobs in Baltimore, Braylon Allen in Dallas. I think in redraft, this was closer. Everybody was like, this is a toss-up. So I'm carrying this question over from the main channel. I don't think it's close at this point. Jacobs, in my opinion, doesn't hold a candle to the upside, even with the risk involved, but the upside of Braylon Allen and Dallas. So you guys drop your vote in the chat, please. I'm going to say this one's easy. Very, very easy. Not even close, to be honest with you. Braylon Allen and Dallas over... You guys can toss out a potential option. Let's say Barkley in Baltimore. So Dynasty, Braylon Allen in Dallas, Barkley in Baltimore. Drop your thoughts, but this one's easy for me again. I love Barkley in Baltimore. I do, but I'm taking my shot on Braylon in Dallas. Now, if let's say Braylon was in... Trying to think of somebody give me like a mediocre, like a confusing landing spot, a confusing one. One that like maybe he could climb out of, but it doesn't feel great. You know, it's confusing. Somebody give me give me one of those landing spots, and the phone lines are open. If anybody would like to dial in, this one's going to be interesting. I want something a little bit complex, something that's going to scare people, something that's not clear cut, something that's going to require some navigation. Raiders, because of Zamir White, Yeah, you know what? Honestly, that's a good one. As much as we want to pretend like Braylon would just overtake Zamir, Zamir's pretty solid. So Barkley in Baltimore or Braylon in LV? That is tough. Oh, man. I'd probably say in redraft, I'd go Barkley in Baltimore. In Dynasty, I'm leaning with this 19-year-old kid that I just think is going to have tremendous upside now. I love Zeus, Zamir White, but I'd probably just couple them together. But this one's tough. This one's a really, really, really tough one. If we're going to go with Braylon in... Someone said, what was the other confusing one? Houston's not confusing. Jacksonville would be. Oh, God. Braylon in Jacksonville. What am I doing here? Braylon in Jacksonville. That would be horrible. Let's see. Let me fix this. But Braylon in Jacksonville or Barkley in Baltimore in Dynasty... Yep. Where's my boom sound on that one? Where's my boom sound? There. Barkley. As much as I love Braylon, this is what we're talking about. Situation could kill it. Situation could kill it. Situation could absolutely destroy it. Braylon in Denver, while that could end up being good, broski, it could also end up being very, very bad. There's a lot of committee feel going on in Denver. I think if this was the case, I think I would still lean Barkley. Barkley's going to give you 2 years at least. I know he's not the youngest. He's not a spring chicken, but I probably would lean that direction. If I felt like they knew how to use their RBs, if they were going to lean on one, look, Javonte was ready. Javonte was way ahead of schedule. They just completely botched it. I wouldn't trust this at all. Tampa would also suck. Let's go back the other direction. Let's go Braylon in amazing situation. We'll go Braylon in Houston. And then let's go higher than Barkley. Let's test the limits of Braylon in Houston. And let's say, is Braylon in Houston better than ETN in Jacksonville? Obviously he's in Jacksonville, but I want to make sure everybody, you know, knows the thinking here. Braylon in Houston, ETN where he is, no other competition introduced to the equation. Which one are you going? That's what I'm doing. I love this guy, but you're already seeing him. He finishes as a top five running back, and he's not being respected as a top five running back. I'm taking Braylon in Houston. Braylon in Houston could be elite. That could be top five running back material. That would be a very interesting landing spot. Let's see how far we can push this thing. Najee in Pittsburgh. This one's easy. This one's simple. Frank were here. He'd lose his mind. This one's cakewalk. Cakewalk. Piece of cake. Easy peasy. Easiest question I've ever been asked. Najee in Pittsburgh. No, thank you. Give me Braylon in Houston doing it live. Simple. Got a lot of ETN. Let me go back to this ETN question because I got a lot of ETNs. ETN in Jacksonville. Wow, I'm surprised. Perp says ETN 100%. No problem. It's a tough call. It's not an easy call by any means. Hoosier says ETN. He wants ETN over Braylon in Houston. Sir... Smack likes that as well. Stroud won't let it happen. I'm actually a little surprised that this isn't more in favor of Braylon and Houston. That would be a fantastic land. I just in Dynasty I couldn't go ETN over Braylon there. But that's me. That's me. Totally arguable. That's why I put it up there. It's a tough one. Let's go a little deeper. Let's go What's the most ideal landing spot for Braylon Allen? So everybody vote, and then I'm going to make that the choice, and then I'm going to put it up against something tough. So I'm going to make this blank for now. Give me the toughest, the most awesome dream landing spot for Braylon Allen. Let's see what you guys think. I'll take Braylon in Houston because of the situation, screams dominance. Yes, sir. Braylon in Houston, says Bob. So Braylon's getting some votes now. At first it was ETN, but I think it's about even now. Feel like you can't lose with this one. Yeah. Give me the best landing spot for an RB. I don't think it's the Chargers, peanut butter and jelly. I think that's deceptively not the best spot. It's good. It looks like there's three votes so far for Chargers. It's a good spot, but I don't think it's the best personally. But if you guys voted, I'll make sure I put it there. Viking says Matt O. Is that a homer choice though, or do you really believe that? Houston, Braylon and Dallas. Okay, Dallas. I'm surprised we didn't get like five straight Dallas votes, to be honest with you. Braylon and Dallas feels like the best landing spot, period. Houston. Okay, Houston. KC. Bob, why would it be KC? I'm not mad at your take, but why would it be KC? Pacheco? You want Braylon there with Pacheco? Washington, says Roger. You're a Washington fan, aren't you, Roger? I don't blame you. I like Washington. Washington's on the up and up, bro. But Bengals, I mean, we're all over the map. Let's put Dallas, because I can't get you guys as a consensus. Dallas or Houston or LAC. Your choice, okay? Imagine your favorite. Dallas or LAC, you pick. Chargers or Cowboys, you pick in your mind, okay? You guys ready? You pick in your mind what you like better, Dallas or Chargers, Braylon Allen, and you tell me who you'd rather have. Are you ready? This is Dynasty. Kyren in a Rams uniform, exactly where he is, exact situation that he's in right now. Dynasty or Braylon Allen in your preferred choice between Dallas and LAC. Vote. Vote in the chat. I'll drag your questions on screen. This has got to be tough for some people. I'm going to choose personally. I don't want to influence the vote, but I love Kyren. Love Kyren. Love Kyren is an understatement. Understatement. But this goes to show how high Braylon in Dallas, or if Chargers are your favorite landing spot, how high he can climb to where I'd actually put this up on the screen. Kyren. Dallas. Yeah, Dallas would trade up in the second round. That's what we talked about on the main show, right? So Dallas would have to move up. But it's not hard to move up in the second round. It's hard to move up in the first round. Not hard to move up from the middle of round two up to the top of round two. Happens all the time. Tons of trades. Easy, easy peasy. Braylon, Kyren already went down with injuries, says Pearson. That's not a crazy take. I think that would be what some people would be worried about. Perps even prefaced healthy Kyren, of course. Kyren says Matt O. I hate the boys, but Braylon is king there, says Havji. Travis says Kyren. Peanut butter and jelly says Kyren. Kurt says Kyren. Blunt says Kyren. It's close though, says Pearson. He's a Saturn man. I'm taking Braylon over Kyren personally, says Havji. It's a close one. It's a close one. I take Kyren, but that's a close one. All right, if anybody have a call in, dial in. Otherwise, we might wrap it up early. 984 yards, 12 TDs, 5.4 a pop, doesn't lie. I know that seems like, okay, is he, you know, capable of carrying and shouldering a full workload? Yes, he is. That stat line, a little bit deceiving because this man had two back-to-back 1,200-yard seasons the season prior. He's never averaged under 5.4 yards per carry on a season. He's also a pass-catching potential monster. 28 receptions in 2023, 131 receiving yards. And that's what you look for in a weak running back class. You want to have a running back that can pull in passes, because if they are kind of against the odds of becoming an elite player, you want them to be on the field pretty quickly. And if Braylon Allen's got a great pass catching skill set, which he does, then he's going to find himself in a three down back roll in Dallas like that. Like that. That's what you want. And that will turn him into an elite player. But if he doesn't catch footballs at all, if he can't be a 35 to at least 40 reception guy his rookie year, sophomore year, eventually turn into a 50 reception running back, then you have the risk of him getting overlooked or potentially competition being brought in at some point, and you don't want that. So if he's lacking at all the ability to be Breece Hall or Bijan out of the box, not saying he can't get there with being cultivated and matured and brought along, but out of the box, if he's slightly lesser prospect-wise than both Bijan and Hall, etc., then he needs to be able to catch right away, and he'll turn into a monster. This guy, you just water this plant a little bit, he turns into a massive tree. What's up, Travis?
Hey, just real quick, guys. I don't watch a ton of college football. I follow along, and then I, do my homework on the players as they get closer to the end of the season and stuff like that. What? So, man. I didn't watch him play all season. I don't know. I think he might have been trade. I think he seems to watch quite a bit of college football. Just talking about, he's worried he's going to be a plotter and stuff, but he runs like a 4.4, 4.5, 40, doesn't he? I know plotting can be a style too, but
yeah.
I just wanted to kind of hear you. You're going to say no because you like him. But,
yeah. There's nothing like plotter. Plotter, like plotting can be like Derrick Henry's a plotter. I think that Derrick Henry developed. Derrick Henry couldn't hit the hole his first, handful of years in the league. Derrick Henry almost busted out of the league because he couldn't hit the hole. He was just, it took him forever. He couldn't pass Deion Lewis. He couldn't pass DeMarco DeMarco Murray. It took Derrick Henry a ton of time. So plotting, if you want to describe him as a plotter, that's not bad. Like, it's just a matter of he develops at the next level. But like, I don't see that. I don't see just a plotter or a guy that's just going to, like, this guy has wiggle. This guy has ability, jump cut ability. He has good vision. He has good contact balance. He's got the ability to catch passes. He's got all the ability in the world. The only difference and the reason I think someone's going to categorize him as a plotter is because he's bigger. So he's not going to be floating around on his feet quite like another player. So like, you're going to like label his running style differently to a degree. But man, this, I don't really, yeah, I think plotting's, I don't, that almost sounds like you're taking away the upside of him being an absolute monster. You know what I mean? Like this guy is a wrecking ball.
If you say plotter, I think of someone who can't make anybody miss. Maybe that's an a little.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how you're using the term. If you're using it as a positive,
then stiff arm people and make people miss and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think he liked them, but positive. So
yeah, if anybody says he's
I don't mean to call him out. He just he's in there. He has a pretty good knowledge of football. So
I don't know. Yeah. Well, he disagrees with half of what I say anyway. I think so. Don't worry about that.
He does, I know.
Don't worry about that. but yeah, I mean, if anybody's using plotter in a negative description, then that's not the description I would be using, because Braylon Allen's got tremendous upside. But again, none of these running backs have the ability to be out of the box as solid of options and fail-proof like territory. None of them. Are fail-proof Breece Hall and Bijan were and really were. So there has to be a certain level of situation and cultivation and coaching. So if Braylon Allen fails and someone says, oh, I told you he's going to fail, I'm not surprised. That's why I led with that on the main channel today. And that's why I kind of led with that and really kind of beat a dead horse on it. We need situation. If Trey Benson goes to Dallas and Braylon Allen goes to a crappy situation, no offense, Matt O, but the Rams. I don't know why you would want, you said Braylon to the Rams, interesting. How would that be? Why in the hell would we want Braylon Allen to go to the Rams? Number one, it's not even interesting. It's the worst nightmare of my, I wouldn't sleep for weeks. It'd take down Kyren, okay? And then it would also just inject a whole bunch of chaos. There's no way we want that. But if we say Braylon goes to a really crappy situation and Trey Benson goes to Dallas, Trey Benson's the number one rookie running back. If Bucky Irving goes to Houston and nobody else goes anywhere solid, Bucky Irving's the number one rookie. Like, that's the problem with this class, but it doesn't necessarily, right. It doesn't necessarily mean that none of them are good. You know,
situation matters a lot.
Like was obviously. Kyren a perfect example would be Kyren. Was Kyren an elite running back prospect? Absolutely not. I loved him though. Like when he was a rookie, if anybody goes back, I was probably higher on him than you could find anybody on YouTube. Nobody, you couldn't find a single soul. Now I wasn't as high on him walking into this past 2023 season because I missed on it as a rookie. And it kind of soured my, you know, damn it. Like, you know, almost like second guessing myself, you could say. And I'll admit that. I second guessed myself on Kyren because he failed me the year I predicted him to explode. And I expected Kyren to take over the starting job from Akers. Just rip it out from under him while healthy and be a monster. And he got hurt and he ended up not being a factor. Disappointed me a little bit. And so my point is, was Kyren in anybody's eyes an elite running back prospect? Absolutely not. Is he elite now? You abso-freaking better believe it. Kyren's a top five running back talent, and he's not just a good situation elite. He's an elite player. He's an elite player in an elite situation, and you couldn't quite see it totally coming because it just fit and he matured. You know, Tom Brady, I always use Tom Brady in these examples, not because we're trying to compare the level someone's going to get to, but just saying Tom Brady needed to get into the NFL before he could become what anybody could finally see, you know, rising up and growing into this, you know, this GOAT. You didn't know he was going to do that. Sometimes we don't know, even the best scouts in the world, even if you say, Smitty, you're so good at predicting this, give me this. I'm going to miss sometimes. I miss on Kyren. I'm a year early. If Kyren couldn't stay healthy, we'd never know that Kyren was who he was. He would have busted, and then I would have failed that prediction. Like, the sum total of everything I said about Kyren would have looked like I would have looked like a fool. Like, sometimes things don't develop and evolve. Sometimes I'm going to go to my grave saying, I know this guy was going to be good. It was just crappy luck and a combination of injuries and things like that. Kyren Williams is the perfect example of what Braylon could be or might not be. And if anybody thinks they can define him right now, and I'm not saying I didn't see his comment, so I'm not calling out whoever you said, Trey or whatever who said it. I'm just saying that if anybody comes in and says Braylon's not good enough to do this, maybe they'll be right because maybe the situation won't line up. But if it lines up, he goes to the right spot, he matures and gets watered like a plant the right way, then you could be looking at the next Kyren Williams. So situation completely matters. But Matto, I don't know why in the hell you want Braylon to go to the Rams. Give me a heart attack, Matto.
Yeah, that'd be brutal. Especially after, you know, just stunk Kyren's
growth. I think I'd pass out live during the live. I'll be live during the draft and I might fall down. I'm going to end the live stream and start shattering stuff.
Worse than Charbonnet when he went to Seattle. You know? That sucked.
That one dropped. We better prepare
for that. That would be even worse.
The good thing, though, is that this running back.
Like that's going to happen.
Yeah, the thing about this running back class, though, it's good, is that we're not married to any of them so much that we're going to be devastated. The problem will be if Braylon goes to L.A., I don't think anything happens to Kyren, really. I think Braylon just doesn't become, like I said, he needs to go somewhere to evolve. If he doesn't go somewhere to evolve, he's one of the best handcuffs in the league, and you definitely cuff him together, and if Kyren went down, Braylon could soar. But that would be at the cost of Kyren, and I don't want that. So, I don't know. It's tough to say. Smitty, do you think ETN is more talented than Kyren? No. I love ETN. I think ETN's extremely talented. If you're talking about ETN's brother, ETN's very talented. I just think Kyren Williams is on a whole nother level, and it doesn't matter that nobody saw it necessarily coming. Again, I'm not trying to pat my own back because I gave up on it walking into 2023 offseason. I quickly got back on board, obviously, but like I admit, I wasn't pumping him up in August like I should have been. I should have committed to my 2022 prediction on him, but even though most people didn't necessarily see the talent there, doesn't make it any less just because he was unknown to a degree. You know, just like the Arian Foster example. Arian Foster was not drafted, but you had to get behind it. Once the team's behind it, it doesn't matter where he's drafted. Everybody says, oh, you know, walk-ons is not going to happen. Draft capital is low. They'll never invest in him. It's not the way it works. If all it takes is a coach to believe in the player, and then the rest is history. It doesn't matter. You know, if the coach doesn't believe in the player and looks at that player like low draft capital, then yeah, you're in trouble. I love ETN, but Kyren is a top 8 overall dynasty player to me. ETN's not even really in round 2, even though he kind of should be. I think he's being disrespected even by me. He's a great value in dynasty. He's a great value in redraft. Real quickly, hold on. Let me pull up this board. This is a redraft draft. So keep in mind, this is not dynasty, but I mean, I doubt ETN's value's higher in dynasty by that much, if any, because usually redraft, you're higher on guys like running backs, and then as the years go on, you're less high on them, right? So how could ETN be worth any more than a top of round 3 to mid third rounder in dynasty if this is where he's going in redraft? Kyren is going right here at pick 9. ETN's going at 25 to 29 in redraft. I don't think it's different in dynasty. Kyren might fall to like the 12-13 turn. ETN might climb to the 3.1, but there's a huge discrepancy between the two anyway, just based on ADP. So Kyren by a mile for me. It doesn't mean I don't love ETN though. Just, you know, he's already had a lot of years, regardless of, you know, a wasted year in year 1, etc. What's up, Travis?
Did it last year, did it feel like to you that they were almost wishing they could run, you know, a committee out there, or do you think they were just trying to get Tank Bigsby going so they could take the workload off of ETN? Because I think we saw ETN wear down a little at times, but I just wanted your opinion whether or not you thought it looked like they were just trying to pull the workload back, or if they wanted two running backs there, like to kind of split the load.
They wanted two running backs. But it wasn't working out. And if anything, you know, that was good because it showed that the coach, you know, said, you know what, I'm putting my best back out there. Screw this committee stuff. So that was good. Let me see if I can pull up the game log and we'll look at it here real quickly. Where's the game log? Okay, here's 2020. 9-10. Okay. Let me screenshot this. We'll put his 2023 regular season stats up on the screen. I don't need that part of the screen. Let's snap that. Okay. So, I mean, we'll go through his game log. We'll see if he really did break down, or what was the carry workload, you know, reasoning, everything. So, looking at his 2023 game log, we'll start in September. 18 carries. I'm just going to go. Let me get something to highlight this. Hold on. Okay, so 18 carries, 12 carries, 10, 19 carries, 20 carries, 26, 18, 14. That's crazy. He's got so many carries. 24, 9, 14, 20, 11, 14, 10, 6, 16, 16. I mean, yeah, you could say like he did get less work here. 6, 10, 14, 11, but he still had like a 14, 9 in here. I mean, the 6 carries, 10 carry games, I'm not going to even count his yards per carry against him. I'm just going to say 3.6, 6.4 his last two games. 14 carries, so he had 2.5 there, but he had 3 TDs in that time frame. So I don't know. I don't know that I'd say he wore down too much. I'd just say the natural, you know.
I guess he had a tough.
Yeah.
Tough stretch towards the end, too. He's facing good defense.
Yeah, also look at the L's here. They lost 1, 2, 3, 4, five out of six games. And to me, that says, yeah, game scripted out him. They're throwing from behind. Look at 23-7, 30-12, 26-0. They won that game. And look, they won that game. Look who's back. 102 yards and two touchdowns in that game. So game script dependent for ETN for sure. Whenever they lost a game, look at 35 yards, loss. 45 yards, loss. 35 yards, loss. 31 yards, loss. 12 yards, loss. 57 yards, loss. Win, 102 yards. Win, only 56. I guess it's not an exact science, but definitely when they lost, he didn't have a good game. This is his only decent game, 88 yards on a loss. So, I don't know. Tough to say. And then the receiving department, you know, like this could be better. Started off with 27, 2, 50, 17, 48, 28. The 70 game's nice. I mean, they just need to throw the ball to him more. Decent targets, though, to be honest.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
He had decent targets, but it was almost like they would... They would only dump off to him. It seemed like they were scheming him into the passing game a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like ETN a lot, but I would just say that Braylon in Dallas is better than maybe ETN, you know, in this situation where we're not too sure what to make of the offense and what's going to really happen. And then I would say Kyren Williams by far and away is better than both of them. Maybe not by far and away. Braylon could be as good, but I'm taking Kyren all day long. Kyren is there risk? Absolutely. Like when we do the we'll T-chart him. If anybody doesn't remember what we're doing with the T-chart, which Travis, I don't know if you were there. We were there. You were the one when we created it on the phone. So if we T-chart, and I think we already did this, Kyren. And we're being very honest with ourselves, and we say, what is his upside? And this is his upside score, and this is his, you know,
dynasty
downside score.
Okay,
out of 100%, so just a percentage on each side, it's got to be something as high as 30% downside, maybe 25, maybe it's 75, just because he's gotten injured. He doesn't necessarily carry the pedigree out of the box to a lot of people, but he's special in McVay's heart. If McVay retired, then that's where some of that risk might be kind of lingering. The injuries where some of that risk might be lingering. Stafford retires, some of that risk might be lingering. But like he doesn't have like a 10% risk level, but most running backs don't. And so if we T-chart, like Bijan, look how Bijan did last year. You know, we I don't think we would have in our wildest dreams accounted for that risk, but Bijan's. Bijan will probably
that small downside hit, which is what happened.
This might be a little bit biased, but I'd say I don't see how I couldn't give him like a 90 or an 85 and a 10 risk. But I don't think there's many running backs that feel this high. Like, I don't think you'll find, because an RB gets hurt, there's a risk for an ACL tear and then their season's done. I don't think you could find anything better than this. I don't think I could score anybody as a 100 or 95 or 92. I think it's like 90, 10. And really with Bijan, it might even be like 88, you know, 88, 12.
Yeah.
The only hundreds you're going to get.
Hall and Gibbs.
The only hundreds.
The highest, right?
Yeah, the only hundreds you're going to get would be like Mahomes. This is Dynasty. I don't think he'd have 100 in redraft. Right. He'd have like a 95 or 92 or 98, 95, 98. But 100 and zero. Josh Allen would be like a 99 and 1 or 100 and zero. JJ would be 100 and zero because injuries aren't going to take him out. They might take him out for 1 year, but if we're talking Dynasty.
Yeah. Just a quick question. Dynasty, what would you put like CMC at this kind of comparison? Because he's older, he's got risk, but he's still elite. You know,
55, 45.
Okay.
I mean,
I think that's a good, good to see that, you know, like a comparison compared to these younger guys.
In redraft, in redraft, maybe 85-15.
Right.
Whereas walking into...
That just shows the contrast difference.
Yeah. Whereas in hindsight, walking into this past season, he should have been like a 95 or 90. But I think at 28 years old, like you'd be crazy to put him any higher than that at 28 years old. Lamb, right. That's a good one. So this is, we'll go back to Dynasty. Lamb, from a Dynasty perspective, if we T-chart this guy, I'd probably say 95 and 5. The only reason this isn't like 1 or 0 and this is a 99 or 100 would just probably be because of Dak, turnover with McCarthy,
yep.
You know, things that could get in the way of that. But as you can see, mm-hmm. You're in the 95, 92, 9800 range. You're a wide receiver or you're a quarterback because you've got longevity. And only Bijan feels like a 90-10 to me. I don't even think, like I said, Kyren is probably a, 75-25 for Kyren. And that doesn't mean I don't, you know, this 75 is still a good number. 75% chance, you know, that's not bad. It's just you've got to account and be honest with that 25. Achan, you want me to be completely honest with Achan? Achan is probably, and this is why this exercise is so awesome, I think, because after you're honest with yourself, it's really hard to lie to yourself. I think this is very, very solid. Achan's got to be something around 70 to 75. I don't think he's in the 80s. I think there's certainly risk involved. If we said 75-25 for Achan, that factors in a lot of risk. We're being completely honest with ourselves. I think Kyren feels more like, I think Kyren might be more like 80-20 because Kyren feels like he'd be a little safer than Achan. So I'd say something like that. Breece Hall. You've got ACL. You got Aaron Rodgers. You got a lot of reasons why downside could exist in Dynasty. But I'd probably say 88 and 12. Just because I don't know that I feel. Maybe it's still not. Maybe him and Bijan are both 90-10s. I don't know. It'd be somewhere in that territory. I would waver a little bit, you know, and this doesn't mean it doesn't. And again, let me just preface this. It doesn't mean that Hall at 90-10 is better. You should draft him ahead of, let's say, Achan at 75.
Right.
Or not draft him better, but value him more. Then at 75 and 25, right. If let's say you can get him in Dynasty at third round value, then Achan's more valuable, even with more risk than let's say Hall at, like if you're getting Achan at something else or you're getting him at third, like there's reasons why you would still go with the riskier player is what I'm just trying to say, you know, or if it was.
Yeah, like you said, this really, really makes you look at, okay, how much of a risk, what is the downside, and make you really, you know, not focus on the downside, but, you know, you might love a player, but
it just makes you honest. Honest. And then when you go back into the ranking world in zone, you have a hard time lying to yourself. It just makes you say, I just admitted.
That's a good way to put it.
You know what I'm saying? And it's going to catch me and make me safe. Hey, Hob G, what's up? You're live.
Yo, what up? How yo? How's the fam doing?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Your Travis ready to get swept?
You're a little muffled. I don't know if you're talking with the phone on the shoulder or something. We can barely hear you.
What about now?
A little bit better. Yeah, a little bit better.
Travis, what up?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm great. Ready to get swept?
Yeah, right. We'll see.
You know, I seen you put on that redraft. That's a neighbors in the third round.
What? What are you talking about?
You pulled that back up. You put up that redraft. That
Yeah. This is a draft that I'm currently in on Underdog Fantasy. It's a redraft draft. And it's not it's not dynasty. I just pulled it up to give examples of ETN's value and just say I don't know that he's going to be ranked a ton higher in dynasty than where I'm seeing him go in redrafts right now, just because he might go at like 3.1 just because some of these other older players could fall out and he kind of stays put. But Neighbors, yeah, he's getting taken in the third round of redraft. I only imagine he go where he's going to go in dynasty. Marvin Harrison Jr. in redrafts going between 14 Maybe. And 18. I think Marvin Harrison honestly deserves to be in this mid-first to end of first round territory in dynasty. This is redraft. It's the only thing that I had to pull up right now. So,
right, because I'm focusing on my dynasty, but I'm looking at redraft too. And I saw that like Neighbors, when you said redraft, I'm like, Neighbors in a third and redraft.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh,
it's crazy, huh? I think it's way too
that's
early. I like
dog
him.
Though, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I'm gonna be able to get Neighbors where I want. In my
this
league.
Is too hot.
Definitely you know, not. He's not going in the third.
You know who? Know who else is really too high? I don't know where he is on this draft. Let's look at it. It's Nico. Yeah, he's high in this one. This is where we've been seeing him. I love Nico, guys, but 15 overall is playing with fire.
Nah.
You know, it's just not giving you a ton of upside. And Rashee Rice, I like him. I do. I mean, I've been pumping him up all season. But like 2018, it's tough. It's tough to make that your second drafted player walk away from your draft and go, damn, I crushed it. I'm so deep when you got, you know, Rashee Rice is great. I'm not, again, people are going to take this wrong. But second round, mid-second round for Rashee Rice is just, it's a little bit risky.
No, the return, no,
what? What, Travis?
I just said, especially not knowing if Kansas City can bring in another receiver, they, you know, without knowing what the team looks like for next year.
Yeah.
Definitely. They could bring in one of those, there's at the end of the 30, 32, yeah, there's going to be some good receivers for them to bring in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to cut into rushing.
Guys, 40 of you in here, only 20 thumbs up. Punch that thumb up, wipe your feet if you could at the door. All right, Hob G, I'm going to jump here. Anything else, bro?
Nah, that's it, man. I was just shocked by it.
Yeah.
yeah, right. But Neighbors, I want him and Harrison, but that's not going to work. He's not going to drop the 9.
Yeah.
I got the 1-1 and the 1-9.
Well, you can trade up.
You know, I already tried that dude once. My 1-9 and one of my first. I have two first next year. He wants one of my first next year and my 1-9. I'm like, no.
Yeah, but if you could get the 2, is that the two overall, or is that the 3 or 4 that you're trying to get?
The 4.
See, I mean, you could always go after the 3 or 2, and maybe Braylon Allen looks amazing, bro. You know, and you're like, damn, I'm going to go after Braylon Allen and Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, I would move my 1.9 in a future first for the 1.2 or 1.2. With you controlling the 1.1, I would do that. I would give up a future first in the 1.9 for 1.2 overall. No doubt about it.
Yeah, because the dude already hollered. The dude with the 1.2, he hasn't responded yet, so I don't know. He'll wake up one day. So, but the thing is, there's one dude that has 2 1s. He has 4 1s this year and 4 1s next year. I don't know how the league let that happen. You dudes are just sleepwalking. There's no way. He's the one that wants my 1-9 and one of my first next year. I'm like, nah, I'm not. Dude, you already got enough ones. I'm not going to win him.
Yeah. Well,
no, he's already got a monopoly.
Keep us posted, bro.
Yeah, but I'm trying to get twos, a bunch of twos, so I can snatch up all the running backs and receivers that I want.
Yeah. You know, I always admittedly undervalue, like, second rounders and late first round picks because I want to move up. But then pretty much 8 times out of 10, every draft that I'm in or that I'm not in because I traded all my picks away, I'm always going, are you kidding me? How is that guy still sitting there at 1.11? How is that guy sitting there at 2.02? You know, and you're like, damn it. You know, that's if I was in the draft, I would have taken him at 1.8 and I would never have seen him even drop to 2.2. I do take especially in rookie drafts, I just take the guys I want, especially when I get past like 1.8. I don't even mess around. I don't use ADP as much. If I want a player, I take them. I'm not gonna reach so far out of the realm of reality that I'm not taking advantage of taking a third rounder in the second round, or vice versa or whatever. But I certainly don't care about taking a guy at 9 instead of 14. You know, especially if someone else is getting cute, doesn't know what the ADP data is. So, like Tank Dell, for example, I didn't mind taking him at like 7, 8, 9 when people were like getting him at 2.4, like clock. I just took him. I just didn't care.
Yeah. See, like at the 1.9, because I'm not going to make any moves until we're on the clock on draft day. That's when you're going to get motivated buyers. So, but the 1.9, if Braylon goes to where we think he's going to go, I'm taking him at 1.9.
Yeah. Also, keep in mind, like, Brock Bowers, bro. Like,
if he drops to 9, I'm taking him.
No, he's not going to drop to 9. I'm saying, like, if you're getting that 1.4, you know, you're saying there's too expensive. Like, what if you get Brock? Like, think about it. You got Braylon Allen, or you got Marvin Harrison Jr., Braylon Allen, Neighbors and Bowers. Like, the 1.4 guarantees you one of those guys. Like, what if you're 1.9? What if you have 1.9 next year? What if you have 1.12 next year? Rock out. Try calling it again. I just missed you, Rock out. I'm sorry. You know, like, you're really not giving up 2 1.9s.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting right there.
I could care less about a 1.9 if it means I get one of Brock Bowers, or, and maybe Brock Bowers goes at 1.5 or 1.6. You know, it's possible, but I don't care about taking him. If it's is it a 1 QB or super flex? I imagine it's 1 QB, right?
It's 1 QB.
Yeah, I mean, is anybody not going to take Brock Bowers at 4 if his ADP is at 1.6? Come on. I'd take him at 4. Once he gets his landing spot, everyone's saying Brock Bowers is not falling, or he's not going as high as 4. I saw a couple comments in the chat. Who cares? I think we're going to see something different later. So I'd take him at 1.4 in a heartbeat. All right, appreciate you, Hob G. You're the man.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, later, bro. Rock out. Call back in real quick. Travis, any final thoughts?
I was just going to ask, what's your opinion on Braylon? Say, like, Barkley leaves the Giants and the Giants take him. He's on a bad team, but he gets all the cares.
If who goes to the Giants?
Braylon, is that how you say his name?
Oh, yeah.
The running back.
Yeah.
It would not be a good spot, but he gets all the carries. How do you see him being able to succeed, or is it just a stay away?
It's tough because, I mean, Barkley's been getting screwed there. But, I mean, it's better than some landing spots because we know. But, I mean, inconsistency. I think once they get a quarterback, and if Dable, you know, I don't know. I think with Danny Dimes, it's not a lost cause, but it's one of those inconsistent roller coaster rides. But it could be worse, but, long term, it could be okay long term, but it might not be great right away.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on 1 second. I'll hang up on you both at the same time. Rock out. What's up, my guy? Mars Man, rock out. You are live.
What two players would you try to get for Lamb and Dynasty?
Achan, this is how I construct a Dynasty trade, okay? This is exactly how I construct it. Do you need a running back, first of all? Everybody needs a running back.
Need a receiver more.
Here's what I try and do, if I can. I'm trying to get Achan as my anchor of this trade. And then, so you're sending Lamb. And I'm not saying trading Lamb smart. I'm just, he's asking me, so I'm going to tell him. So I'm trading that for two players. And my anchor I'm going to start off with is Achane. Anchor being that's the first person you target. Then you go to the team, comb through the roster, try and find an additional piece here that makes this side of the scale slightly look deceptively better, and you smash the trade. So what wide receivers does the Achane owner have?
One sec.
Let's just see if we can construct a trade for good old Rock out. And then we'll move on. If he doesn't have anybody, we'll move on. If it's like Mike Evans is all he's got, it's Dynasty, you don't want to go that route. Let's see if he has a Devontae Smith. If he's got Devontae Smith, I'm fine doing this trade. I mean, I love Lamb, but, you know, I'd do this trade. Or we'll go to Kyren next. We'll go to the Kyren owner next.
Yeah, St. Brown, Puka.
I don't think you're going to get either one of those guys with H. I mean, you could add somebody here. So if you went to him and said, Puka's less expensive, surprisingly. So you go to him and you say, Puka, Achane for Lamb. He's going to go, no. But, like, what could you add in? Name a couple guys that you could throw in. Or could you give up a potential future first rounder? No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Don't do that. You don't need to do that. What could you give up? Give up like a second and a player?
I mean, let's see.
I'm not saying that the first rounder, you couldn't make this better than that, like, especially if it's a late first, but I would probably just try and hold the first. I wouldn't go there. Puka, Achane. Yeah. Okay. So that's one option. Okay. Next option. We'll go.
Okay.
Go to Kyren. Who's the Kyren owner have at wide receiver? Perp says, Dak be in Dallas next year? Yeah. Cause they're going to sign into an extension. They're going to make it a priority. So yeah. And to be honest with you, like, Dak gets a lot of shade. I mean, Dak was fantastic. You know, top five quarterback in fantasy. Played like a top five quarterback in football. You know.
All right. You got Cup, Diggs, Moore, and Adams.
Diggs, Moore, and Adams?
Cup, Diggs, Moore, and Adams.
I mean, this is interesting, bro. Roger Johnson says Bauer is top five, LOL. Why is that funny? Why is that funny, Roger? Look, I mean, I don't think Cup lasts for very long. A lot of people think he's washed. I don't think he's necessarily washed yet. I just think staying healthy is going to be his problem. If he stays healthy, he could play well for another year, maybe two, maybe a year and a half. Like, this isn't crazy if you could win a ton of money. I mean, am I wrong, Travis? I mean, Lamb goes at 3 overall in a dynasty startup. Kyren's in the first round. You add a Cup, maybe something else. I'm not saying I would do it. Just depends on how much money you can win in this upcoming year, how likely the league is to stay together. Kyren and... I'm just saying, like, this would be the start of it. I would want a little more, but, like, Kyren and Cup for Lamb, and then you add something else maybe on your side, Kyren, Cup, and something. But, like, I'm just saying, like, you need a wide receiver. You can't win with what you have. I mean, this could win you cash money in this upcoming season.
He's getting Lamb.
He's getting Cup and Kyren and something for Lamb. I'm just saying, like, as a starting point, I don't hate it. Like, Kyren's that valuable to me to where I can have a conversation like this.
As long as Cup's not his number one.
He might be.
Cup has one more year.
But you could even say, like, what if he could get Diggs, Cup, and Kyren for Lamb? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like you could try it, and I don't know that. I mean, the odds of one of Cup or Diggs really being off, like falling off already, and they're done, is not crazy. It's possible for sure, but if you could get both these guys, and one of them.
He also has JT.
What?
He also has JT.
He has JT. I don't like JT more than Kyren, to be honest. I think I might, not everybody would agree with me. And that's okay. That's preference.
I'm saying if we want to go, get a higher receiver.
Yeah. If you're willing to switch it up. But
okay.
Kyren's often valuable.
Some might have JT higher, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some were saying they'll keep Lamb in the scenario. I don't blame you guys, but like, let's say he can't win with Lamb. Just exploring options, but he could make another trade for sure. All right, let's try a different approach. Let's say you trade Lamb and you go down to a... I really think the best option is to go from Lamb to Puka. And the guy had the guy that had Puka had what again?
Hold on one sec. Oh, that was the A-Chain owner.
Okay, so I guess I would just... I think, honestly, bro, this is where I'm going with this. If you ask me what I would focus on, and then you're going to have to give up something. It just depends on what it is. This would be your best avenue. Because you're getting a guy that arguably... You could argue. Could be better than Lamb, like, in 2 years. You never know. But he could at least hang. And then, you know, A-Chain by himself... could kind of hang, but not, you know, you're obviously drafting, but I'm just saying you're getting two players that you could make sense of saying if one of them got hurt and was out for the year, you could say, I'm still in this. You know, it's like an all wash thing. So this is how I would attack it. I think that's just the best approach. We explored the other ones. I don't think it's crazy to go Kyren, Diggs, and Kupp for Lamb. I really don't think it's crazy, but I'd much rather have the A-Chain Puka and give up something, but not something crazy, you know. I don't think I'd do the first rounder. I just do a bunch of seconds. I give him my second for life. You can have my second rounder every year. That's something I would do and regret later. I totally, if that was an option, I'd click it. I would be, my second rounders would be gone for life.
I don't know, that next two second rounders. I don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hold on one second. Who is this? 502 caller. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Kentucky.
Kentucky. What's your name, bro?
Kyle.
Kyle from Kentucky. What's up, Kyle? What can I do for you?
Is this Smitty?
Yeah. Can you turn the show down in the background?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I thought I was watching a live, but I didn't see you like talking, so I didn't know. So it's the first time I've ever done something.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Sounds like a Chris Hansen show. What can I do for you, bro?
I just saw the number. I thought I called. You know, we've been in a league together for about 4 years ago. I've been watching you since like way before on the last channel.
So attaboy.
I really like the Dynasty stuff.
You got any questions?
I think it's cool.
Get it.
No, not so much. I just wanted to just chat. If you were just doing some like...
Yeah, we're not going to be here much longer, but you can weigh on this. Would you do in Dynasty, would you trade Lamb and let's call it... Give me something, Rock Out, that we can toss in on this Lamb side that you're sending.
So, so I was watching that topic, like, that's when I called. I think that, like, Lamb in a first is probably... It feels like it's too much.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's, I feel like that's the way you have to do it now.
Maybe. If you could give up,
it feels like you have to overpay now to get trades done because there's people are just like,
yeah.
So I guess so many people are so burned from the, like, during the, everybody got out on the dynasty during COVID, you know? And so now, like, people just don't make trades like they used to. So you have to overpay, I think.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, if I'm being honest, I don't want to promote this because I give up more than I need to at times to get deals done. This is the way I navigate because I think I put myself in a position that I have a surplus of certain things sometimes the way I trade. But I would do this at the end of the day, to be honest. But, like, I think that's a little rich for a lot of people and they don't, you know, they could destroy their team if they're not careful.
Yeah, I think
I think
probably,
I think
if, Chubb.
Chubb? Okay.
We consider Puka and Lamb in the same tier, right? Like, I think all of those kind of do.
I think most people won't. They'll consider Puka, like, maybe hanging on to that tier. He's going to go... I mean, Lamb's going one sometimes overall. So he's definitely, like, if they're in the same tier, Lamb's, like, they're spaced out a little bit. So I think you gotta account for that significantly. And Achan's either totally neglected in Dynasty, like, not totally, but disrespected. And I don't think you should treat him. I don't think anybody should treat him like we treat him. In our eyes, or at least if most people that watch the show but that believe in him, in our mind, we forget that he's not a first-round running back. Like, a lot of people are scared of him. A lot of people are discrediting him and saying he's going to get hurt.
Anybody that had him, though, know he got, like, 40 points.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. The hate is real. So, like, you can't, like... I don't think you need to give up.
There's a discount. I agree with you. There's a discount.
Like, you could almost give up. Like, if we just said go after Achan using a first rounder, you might get it done in a lot of leagues, just giving up a first rounder for him. So then you're talking about if that is an even swap Achan for the first rounder, now you're talking about taking a bath on the Lamb to Puka when you're... So just be careful. The second Chubb and Lamb rock out is a pretty intriguing proposition, bro. So if you wanted
to get that deal done, you would have to throw the first in. Like a sec, I don't think anybody's ever gonna. You can't just throw like nickels.
Deal
doesn't happen anymore.
You never know till you try.
Oh, man.
But Chubb second and a Lamb, try it and then work your way through it. But like this people for some reason, they either can't stand Nick Chubb in Dynasty or they still believe he's gonna do something for a year or two. But I would definitely throw the second and Chubb together first with Lamb for this.
I think your background was like in like economics and stuff. You were in sales and stuff before like the fantasy? Or
no.
Is that no? Okay. I kind of feel like, you know, Lamb is the safe investment and Puka is the kind of like, all right, we've seen it do it 1 year. So you're basically just paying for the security of having Lamb for long term versus like Achan to Puka, I think it's easily dominate that side, like
right. But like you still got to use the market value.
Lamb is the most stable asset long term.
You still got to use the market value. Puka is still at the bottom of that tier. Achan is a doubted man by so many, and you just have to, like I said, you could almost get rid of a first rounder and some chump change to get Achan. So then you got to look at the other side of this and say you're going from Lamb to Puka. So you do deserve more, or I'm just going to work my way up. So rock out. Start with the second, Chubb and Lamb, and try and get Puka and Achan. If you won't do it, I'm comfortable with going up to the first, but I certainly would try to keep it if you can. Rock out.
You know, I thought
Hold on one second, pal. Let me help rock out with this first, and then I'll let you go. So.
Yeah, I'll try to help.
And then figure out, you know. Figure out if there's any other moves. I definitely would go after the what was the other option, Rockout, we were talking about?
Kyren and Diggs. I like that. I thought that was really
Go after Kyren somehow as well. But like try and get something added. You could even get a first, you know, try and get a first rounder. Give up you do Lamb in a second, and you could get if you wanted Kyren in a first. And then, you know, especially if this was a 1 point something that turned into Bowers, like if you got Kyren and Bowers for just Lamb, that's a win for me, to be honest with you. That's a huge win. I love Lamb, big advocate of Lamb, but I think people are going to discredit Kyren to a point where I just disagree. But Bowers or Neighbors or, you know, Odunze maybe even, like that's a solid potential. Like Odunze or Neighbors. Like, if you could get Neighbors here somehow and you give up a second, I mean, that's a win. And Kyren's scary enough that to people, not me, that you can maybe squeeze this out by saying, here's this safe element here that's number one overall to some people in Dynasty. So work that angle. I got to get going here, boys. Kyle, anything else on this you wanted to add?
I was kind of curious about how you value like assets, like as far as like we said with the Lamb, we have the security, we know he's going to be great for 5 years, you know, so you're going to value that security you have, you know, like in your investment, your house or anything like that. But, like, you know, running backs, they come, we've seen them come and go. Like, JT a couple years ago was the number one asset. And now he is, like you said, you don't even know if Kyron Williams is better or not, right? So, like, how much do you put that into your thought process of trading for assets as far as thinking about, like, stability versus, like, short-term and, like, having huge, like, fantasy success?
I mean, it's case by case. I mean, the bottom line for me is I'm not even really looking for something specific the way you're describing it. It just comes down to the sum total of a trade. So if I have someone like JT on my roster and I also I see that Kyron's on the block, or I just think I can get Kyron because I quietly like Kyron better, and I think the majority of people view JT higher or could or might not, I'm exploring that and trying to get a plus something because I just see the value there. I'm just trying to turn it. It's not like think of it like a stock market, okay? You see Apple Apple stock let's call it I don't know what it's at right now, but let's say it's like, let's just throw $300. So it's 300. I'm not necessarily trying to go get something that I think is going to last necessarily 6 years and be steadier. I'm looking at, okay, if this is going up to 320 and I think it's going to come down, then, you know, even if Netflix is not something that's 5-6 years long, but I'm just like, I'm going to make a killing this next couple years, I'll go after it. So like, I don't need Kyron to be a 6-year commitment. I believe in Kyron right now. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. And that's as far as I think anybody should really look at it. You start trying to accumulate a bunch of 22-year-olds, your entire roster, you're going to be playing for second place. You just got to make sure you have a handful of years. There's no exact formula. It's case by case. It really is just trade by trade. Like, looking at Devontae.
I agree with you, but, like, also having a resale value. That's, you know, that's a – because most of the fun part about Dynasty for me is, like, making that trade. And so, like, if I buy an asset – that, like, that it's going to come down, you know, that inevitably because of the running back position. It's like, it's a lot harder for me to invest into a running back than it is.
Yeah.
I'm always a running back first guy.
I think it's innate. I don't think I ever really break it down like that many layers, because if you do, you're just never going to get it. Like, you have to just kind of have the feeling of some of these guys. Like, okay, Devontae Smith, he's going to have a long career ahead of him. If I find him next to a player that maybe is slightly more valuable, like AJ Brown to most people, well, because of the longevity factor, and I don't know the exact amount of years more, but I do know that I feel like this guy's just the smarter investment. But then, like, you look at Tyreek Hill versus Waddle. Waddle has a ton more time, but I don't trust Waddle at all, and he could get hurt at any moment. So I'd just rather have Tyreek Hill, because Tyreek Hill's going to retire in 2 years. And then he's done, let's say. And he said that before. Let's say we knew for a certainty he was playing 2 years and that's it. And Waddle was going to play six more. I'm still not making the trade straight up. I'm just not. I don't trust Waddle. I don't think he stays healthy. I think he's way overvalued. He went in like the 13 to 14 to 15 overall range last year. And I just scratched my head at it. I hated the value. I didn't like Waddle in the third round. And people are like, what? You don't like him at 14?
I actually really like his value now. Like,
so,
because it has fallen.
So he'll to me, just because Waddle's going to play longer, it doesn't do anything. I don't care. I'd rather have 2 years of Tyreek Hill. How many times has your Dynasty League crumbled in 2 or 3 years? Like, who cares? Like,
We've been playing family for like 4 years, 5 years. So,
you know, that's,
you know, we got a good curve.
Yeah. So that's a factor.
All my leagues have been around. Now, you're right. Like, the majority, if the commissioner's not right, they crumble, like, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, but when you have good commissioners, they last. You know, at least since COVID.
All right, bro. Call on the next show tomorrow. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you, man. It's great talking to you.
All right, later, bro. Let's see here. Rock out. Final thoughts?
No, I'm good. Appreciate it.
Dropped a... All right. Thank you, pal. Appreciate you.
All right, cool.
Later. This chat is off the rails. What's happening in the chat? No offense, Smitty, but I love that we all just started having a baseball chat. Why are you talking baseball in my live chat here? That's right. I'm not mad, but you can all see. I don't know. I'm not going to go over all that. Hob G, appreciate you calling in, pal. Appreciate you. Don't forget, guys, subscribe to the YouTube Dynasty exclusive group. So go to the main Dynasty YouTube page. You're watching the Dynasty channel right now. Just click the home tab. And if you guys want to become a Dynasty YouTube exclusive member, all you got to do is hit that join button and do it live. All right, Travis, anything else?
Nope. I'll talk to you later.
All right. See you later, pal.
Bye.
I'm just kidding, Hoosiers. You can discuss whatever. Baseball. Yeah, I don't like baseball. I don't want to offend anybody, but baseball is the most boring sport to me. I try to get into baseball content, you know, and I knew a lot back in the day, but now I don't know crap about baseball anymore. I don't know who the top 15 players in the, you could tell me like number 10, number 11, best ranked, highest ranked player in the MLB. And I would be like, who the hell is that? You know, I have trouble even staying up to date with basketball. Basketball was my jam. Like playing, scouting. I'm a better fantasy basketball scout than I am football. But even that, I'm a little bit behind on some of the names. I mean, obviously, I know Wemby and... Travis, you do feel like a baseball guy. Nothing wrong with it. It's just not my... I'm also very much, you know, invested in... so much football content, I don't have time for baseball. I stopped drafting Waddle when he hit. Waddle. I won't even take Waddle in the third, anywhere in the third round. Anywhere in the third round. All right. Hey, appreciate you all. Braylon Allen. Elon, brah. Draft Elon, brah. To the moon. I give you Mars Man. Elon, brah. A.K.A. Braylon Allen.
The Moon Men, dropping loads in outer space.
Space Moon says.
Go, get it, do it, live. And on that note, we still love Kyren Williams, don't we?
He's Kyren, he's 7 feet tall, and he knows how to handle a ball. He's Kyren, he can take frowns and turn them upside down with his touchdowns.